From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
For decades, the CCP has waged an aggressive campaign of political warfare, a strategy to weaken our nation without ever firing a shot. The end goal is clear: to weaken and defeat America.
That was the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, in a hearing yesterday on the Chinese Communist Party's political warfare directed at the United States. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Texas Congressman Michael Cloud, a member of the House Oversight Committee, joins us to discuss how the Chinese Communist Party is successfully waging a war against America by targeting, influencing, and infiltrating federal agencies. That's coming up later. Another non-decision decision by the Supreme Court. Earlier today, the U.S. Supreme Court sidestepped a decision on the fate of Idaho's pro-life law, making it clear that protecting the life of the unborn will not be left to the states. We'll explore what the court decided and why with ADF Senior Counsel John Birch.
That reporting is incorrect. We do not have identified 400 people with potential ISIS ties.
Calling that initial NBC report inaccurate over the 400 potential ISIS ties?
I think it is inaccurate.
That was Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Oklahoma Congressman Josh Brkeen joins me to talk about the presidential debate, border, and the GOP platform. I don't want to miss that conversation. And what would you do if they showed up at your door?
So I'm sure you're aware of some of the things that have been going on at your work lately.
With regards to?
Yeah, so I got to, can we sit down for a minute? Let me do my song and dance.
That was the Ring camera footage of two FBI agents showing up at the home of Vanessa Sivage, a nurse who blew the whistle on illegal transgender procedures conducted on minors at Texas Children's Hospital. Vanessa will join me in studio to tell her story. Well, biblical truth, as you know, is under attack in our culture and in our country, and you and I must defend the Christian faith, and you can help by taking advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match and have twice the impact if you give before June the 30th. To join us in defending the faith, simply text the word defend to 67742. That's 67742, the word defend. And we also have team members who are also defending the faith standing by to take your call. And you can call them 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008 to stand with us as we defend the faith. The Biden administration is claiming that the number of unlawful crossings at the southern border has dropped by more than 40% since the president issued his executive order 3 weeks ago, suggesting that it addresses the border crisis. Also, Secretary Mayorkas is refuting an NBC report about ISIS smuggling illegals into the United States. Joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Josh Brkeen. He serves on the House Homeland Security Committee and the Budget Committee. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Oklahoma. Congressman Brkeen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Honored to be with you.
First of all, Josh, I want to congratulate you on being recognized this morning with FRC Action's annual award for members of Congress who scored 100%, a perfect score for votes cast on our scorecard in 2023. So congratulations for standing firm for the family.
Thank you, sir.
I want to ask you about this. Cochise County Sheriff Mark Daniels in Arizona is among those on the border who are questioning the Biden administration's report. He says they're not seeing a difference down there, and it's frustrating to hear this administration celebrate when they're still seeing tragedies every day on the border. What do you know about that?
Well, I think that San Diego, as soon as this executive order came out, that sector was talking about they were given direct orders. These are CBP officials to disregard deportation for 100 of 195 different countries. And so, I mean, even if you try to allow their wordsmithing on this to be put into place quantitatively, if it's down 40% from a 7,000 crossing per day, You are in the 4,000 to 5,000 range. Think about this. Under Obama, his Secretary of Homeland Security said more than 1,000 a day overwhelms the system. So it's celebrating the astronomical numbers that have become normalized under this administration's egregious policies.
It's a really good point to make. I mean, this thing has mushroomed, and simply because they trim it, they clip it at the margins, it's something to celebrate. I want to go to something else that is, I think, an even, well, it's a part of this mix, because we really don't know who's coming across the border. Absolutely. NBC News reported this week that DHS has identified over 400 immigrants from Central Asia and elsewhere who crossed into the United States in the past 3 years as, quote-unquote, subjects of concern because they were brought by an ISIS-affiliated human smuggling network. Now, Mayorkas yesterday said he thinks the report is inaccurate. Is that more spin, or is it – what is it? What's happening? Tell us.
Tony, it's amazing to me. The Department of Homeland Security identifies this, and their own secretary is undermining their own report. That's the first thing to point out. The second thing to point out is, of course, they want to hide this, right? I mean, does everybody think that the reason why that they have made this executive order that is really smoke and mirrors, you got officials describing this, FARA's describing this smoke and mirrors, their own CBP president of Customs and Border Patrol, the union types are saying it's smoke and mirrors. Nobody's fooled. Everybody knows this is about trying to help Joe Biden for electoral prospects. And yet, I mean, how can you get around the news popping up daily of a 12-year-old raped, 15-year-old raped, murders, a baby that was shot in Maryland? All this happening by illegal aliens. Two of those incidents I just named were two illegal aliens raping little girls. This is astounding. It's egregious. It's heartbreaking. You can't put enough lipstick on this hog. They have made this country unsafe because of these egregious policies designed to make sure that they can maintain power because they want the census changed and they want people to vote. And it's the same administration that's using every entitlement program. Maybe I'm embellishing a little bit, but entitlement programs, we'll say, generally, we're learning about in Congress. They're sending out voter registration information through these entitlement programs, because they want these people who receive government support to turn out and vote. They're worried about the election, and it's just astounding how personal ambition is triumphing regarding our own national security, because they want to stay in power.
You know, Josh, I'd step back for just a moment in history, and our founders warned about those who could vote themselves a raise out of the public treasury, which is exactly what we see happening with these entitlement programs.
That's it. I mean, it's free candy politics. People have learned it. And look, sadly, it reaches across party lines. It's why it's so important. And I hope we get to transition to that conversation about party platform. But it's why it's so important, Tony, that Republicans, what attracted me to a party of godly principles and fiscal responsibility, is we run the opposite. We are a republic, not a democracy that's built upon populism. We as a republic respond to the great tragedy that awaits us of spending ourselves into oblivion, devaluation of our currency, and we do what's right to make sure the blessing of liberty endures for our posterity versus give away more free candy dole outs without any regard for the future. As it's been said by Jim DeMint, and I'd like to quote him often, we're not that. We're not the party of free candy giveaways. We are saying it's time to buy vegetables or we're not going to have a country left.
Well, let's go to that party platform, because what voters need to see is a contrast between the two parties, but that's not always the case. Now, in the party platform, it's an opportunity for the parties to state their priorities, their policy priorities, and their principles. But oftentimes what we're seeing are two parties, one in the HOV lane speeding down the road, the other just over in the slow lane. There needs to be going the opposite direction. How important is it that the Republican Party clearly articulate those principles coming up in Wisconsin in just 2 weeks?
Look, I think it's extremely important. I've got some, you know, concerns about anyone that would go into the Republican Party platform and try to remove any of our biblical virtue elements. As a social conservative, that attracted me. 20 years ago, when I went to work for Tom Coburn, one of the things Tom Coburn had me do when I was working to help him, among many others, run for the United States Senate, I lived in an area of Oklahoma that was full on Democrat controlled, but it was an evangelical part of Oklahoma. And he gave us instruction. He said, I want you to take the party platform. I want you to educate the voters. That is a big part of why Southeast Oklahoma, where I grew up, Little Dixie, Oklahoma, began to change, because people who believed in biblical virtue, once they saw the contrast, Tony, they said, I can't be a part of this. My 94-year-old grandfather, World War II vet, had a gold tooth because of a bayonet that was shoved in his mouth. I'd love to tell you a better story than this. It was in a bar fight with some French soldiers, but he was in part of the invasion into Italy. In my 94, I can't remember what year this happened in his life. He had been a Democrat his whole life. Tom Coburn was the first Republican he ever voted for. He left the Democrat Party just before he passed away, to his great credit, because they removed God in support of Israel from the Democrat Party platform. He called me and said, that's it. I've had enough. It matters what's in that platform. And look, Ronald Reagan gave us a great warning in the late 70s. And I think it was around this conversation. And he said, we need to have a banner raised. We all know this, but the context matters. He's being asked, should we not water down what we stand for? And Reagan's comment, his great personal reflection was, we need to raise a banner that stands for certain values which cannot be moved. He said certain values because he was talking about those social issues. That was in Reagan, his great shining city on a hill speech. It's Reagan who said in this very context of this conversation was bold colors, not pale pastels.
It appears that that may be where some want to take the Republican Party, especially on those issues, Congressman McKean, that you were talking about when it comes to the sanctity of human life, the definition of marriage and human sexuality.
Yeah, I've had a conversation with one of my friends who I served with in the Oklahoma State Senate, Mark Allen. He's a part of the platform committee. He's a man of conviction. I shared with him as of today my concerns that anybody that would go into our platform and try to take away our bold color flag waving, they need to be held to account, because it will hurt those who want to turn out and vote. It will hurt the very people that we say we want to support, the type of people we want to see in office. It's not watering down the message.
Could not agree with you more. Congressman Josh Brekeen, always great to see you. And again, thank you for standing firm for faith, family, and freedom.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you. Thanks for having us back on.
Absolutely. Anytime. Congressman Josh Brekeen of Oklahoma's 2nd Congressional District. You heard right there the importance, an illustration of how the Republican Party platform, Democratic Party platform, they contrast one another. And that contrast has increased significantly. Well, here's an opportunity to make sure that the Republican Party platform stays firm on these foundational issues. As I've been talking about, and I'm going to continue to talk about, I'm going to be on the platform committee. I'm going to be in Wisconsin starting on July the 7th. And I need your help, because there are some who have been put onto the platform committee of 112 people, some that want to change that party platform. I need you to weigh in, and I'll tell you how. Text the word LIFE to 67742. That's the word LIFE to 67742. Let's stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to take a look at today's Supreme Court decision regarding Idaho's pro-life law. So don't go anywhere. We're right back after this.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, to help us make sure that the party platform stays firm on these issues, text LIFE to 67742. And one way to keep up with what's going on is to download the Stand Firm app. You can find it at the App Store. You can not only watch Washington Watch, get the Washington Stand, and our daily devotional, Stand on the Word. Earlier today, the U.S. Supreme Court released its decision in a highly anticipated case where Idaho's law protecting unborn children was at question. Now, the court announced that it had declined to rule on the merits of the case, but instead sent the case back to the U.S. Court of Appeals in the Ninth Circuit for further consideration. So the question is the Supreme Court sidestepping the issue? What does this mean for unborn babies in the state of Idaho? Well, here to unpack this is John Birch. He's the Alliance Defending Freedom's Vice President of Appellate Advocacy and the Senior Counsel at ADF. ADF was instrumental in assisting Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador in this case. John, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for taking time to join us today.
Gary.
So what exactly does the Idaho law say first? Let's start there.
The Idaho law protects life beginning at conception with an exception to save the life of the mother. That's always been clear. Everybody's understood what that's meant. And after Dobbs, it was supposed to go fully into effect. The federal government, in response to Dobbs, has taken a federal law, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, known as EMTALA, and that's simply a law that requires hospitals that receive Medicaid to treat indigent patients who critically need care when they show up at the emergency room. And the administration took that and turned it into an abortion mandate. And then they sued the state of Idaho to try to guarantee that emergency rooms could be abortion enclaves, even in a pro-life state like Idaho. And so that's the case that came to the Supreme Court.
And the Biden administration argued that the Constitution's supremacy clause gave this federal provision the ability to trump what the state had done in this pro-life law, correct?
Exactly. That was their position. But there were a couple of problems with that. The supremacy clause only kicks in if there is a conflict between federal law and state law. And here there was no conflict because federal law and state law are both aiming to preserve life, not take it. In fact, there's nothing in the federal statute, EMTALA, that even says a word about abortion. To the contrary, it treats the unborn child as an additional patient that emergency room doctors have to care for. So Idaho's position all along has been no conflict, no supremacy clause.
And so that actually came out in the oral arguments. The Biden Biden administration admitting some things that showed that this was not in conflict. Therefore, the court threw this back to the Ninth Circuit. Why didn't the court just deal with the merits of the case?
Well, that's a good question, and we'll never know for sure. But the way that the controlling opinion, three-justice concurrence written by Justice Barrett, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, the way they explained it is that the case had morphed because of the federal government's admissions. And after the Biden administration admitted that abortions were not required in numerous circumstances, that essentially Idaho's law remains almost entirely intact. And they said that the injunction the lower courts had ordered would not stop Idaho from enforcing its law in the vast majority of circumstances. So what went from a really broad dispute about abortion enclaves and emergency rooms became a very narrow one. And those justices thought this needed some further deliberation by the Ninth Circuit before they made a final decision. And so we'll take those concessions. They're absolutely terrific for protecting life, not only in Idaho, but in pro-life states around the country. And we'll keep litigating back in the Ninth Circuit. And if we have to come back to the Supreme Court, we'll do that.
It would suggest, by one of the comments from one of the more liberal justices, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, that she said this: while the court dawdles and the country waits, pregnant people experiencing emergency medical conditions remain in a precarious position. And she lamented that this was not the end of it. So she's suggesting, by the way, I think that's interesting, pregnant people. I think only women get pregnant, but that's another topic. So it would suggest that she sees that the federal government is on very thin ice in terms of trying to stop this law.
I think that's right. And Justice Alito wrote a dissent joined by Justice Thomas and Justice Gorsuch that really laid out Idaho's position and explained why Idaho was correct and that the Supreme Court could rule in favor of them right now just based on the simple statutory text. And the majority of the justices didn't think that was appropriate. They wanted to give this a little bit more process. But that does signal where the court is likely headed if this has to come back a second time, either because this case goes down to the Ninth Circuit and comes back up again, or because a very similar case out of the Fifth Circuit, which ruled against the Biden administration and in favor of Texas and some pro-life doctors that ADF represents, that the EMTALA rule was an invalid interpretation of the Federal Medicaid Act.
Well, when you look at the application of this EMTALA, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, this shows that there's clearly those that want to, on the left, make abortion a federal issue. So this, I think, undermines the idea that a state can be pro-life and not be molested by the federal government. There is still federal intervention when it comes to the issue of life.
Absolutely. After the U.S. Supreme Court in Dobbs said definitively that now the people in every state would get to decide what their pro-life policies would be, then the Biden administration walks in, takes a statute that had nothing to do with abortion, that requires protection of the unborn child, and turns it into a federal abortion mandate. And so unfortunately, that's one of many actions this administration has taken to basically force on states abortion rights that don't exist anywhere in the federal code. And until they get reined in and learn their lesson, I think they're going to keep doing it. And that's really a harm to democracy. It's a harm to the rule of law, and it's a harm to unborn children.
John, thanks so much for taking time to join us. Appreciate, once again, the great work that Alliance Defending Freedom does.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And folks, just a reminder that we must be eternally vigilant. I mean, we must be ever vigilant as we remain here on this earth to defend these foundational principles, and one of them being the right to life. And the idea that this is simply going to be left to the states and the federal government's not going to be involved in it is just, it's laughable. The left wants to impose abortion on demand up until the moment of birth at taxpayers' expense. Now, they're claiming that Republicans want to ban all abortions all across the nation. I haven't seen that legislation, but I have seen their legislation to eradicate all pro-life laws. Help us stand for life in the Republican Party platform. Text LIFE to 67742. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch after this.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Thursday. As I mentioned at the top of the program, I don't think I need to remind you, but biblical truth in America is under attack, and it's up to you and I to defend that Christian faith that this country is built upon. And right now, you can help us as we come to the end of our fiscal year, June the 30th. We have some very generous friends of the Family Research Council that have put forth a $2.5 million challenge match. So every dollar you give will be doubled between now and June the 30th. So to join us in defending the faith, text the word defend to 67742, or you can call one of our defenders of the faith that's standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. In testimony before the House Oversight Committee, expert witnesses confirmed the Chinese Communist Party is successfully waging a war against America by targeting, influencing, and infiltrating federal agencies and key industries. Joining me now to discuss this and more is Congressman Michael Cloud. He is a member of the House Oversight Accountability Committee and the Appropriations Committee. He represents the 27th Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Cloud, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on with you.
Michael, let me first start by congratulating you on being recognized this morning as 100% on the faith, family, and freedom issues with FRC Action and our annual award.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all the good work you do to hold us accountable. That's part of the job of we the people, and y'all do a great job of that. So thanks for your hard work as well.
Well, it's a team effort. Let's talk about the hearing. Let's talk about what's going on when we're looking at the Chinese Communist Party infiltrating and influencing American government. What do we know?
Well, what we know and what we have to recognize is that they're in an unrestricted warfare with everything but collateral against the United States. And I loved what Mary Kissel, who served in the Trump State Department, had said. She said, we keep talking of them as competitors. We need to recognize that they're an enemy, and they do not have the best intentions for our nation in mind. And them replacing us as the preeminent force on the world stage would certainly not be good for humanity as well. And so we have to stand up strong. We have to recognize the situation that we're in, and we have to be willing to make the tough decisions to push back on this communist agenda that they're trying to foist upon the whole world.
So Congressman Cloud, I mean, I think a question that many of our viewers and listeners would have with the abundance of evidence that's out there. It's not just something came out this year. This is something we've been seeing now for increasing over the last decade in particular. And it's well documented. You're getting information, but it's out there in the public as well. Why are we still treating them as a fair competitor when, in fact, they are an enemy?
You know, it's hard from where I sit to understand why. When you look at what's happening at how they're using our border situation to get the fentanyl into our country, to put a weight on the systems that are meant to provide aid to the most neediest in our country, what they're doing to send military age single adults into our country, helping fund the international agencies that are doing that, to what's happening to control the minds of our young people from TikTok all the way up to the universities, and then the way they've infiltrated versus virtually every single institution, every industry, and what they're doing to steal our intellectual property. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We should be standing strong to them. When I look at what's happening, it seems like the communists, the CCP, they have a plan to win, and our State Department, our DOD, seems to have a plan not to offend anyone. And this is where we've really got to step up and recognize it, the situation for what it is, because it's really America being leading on the world stage is really what's best for humanity.
So, Congressman Cloud, is it because our government is preoccupied with this nonsense like DEI policies and practices within federal agencies? Are they distracted from the real threats?
You know, to that point, one of the very first eye-opening conversations I had as a brand new member was with an ambassador from another country. And, you know, they came in and said, hey, it's a pleasure to meet you. You know, thank you for the aid your country sends our country. And then after some time of talking, he said, can I take my ambassador hat off for a moment? I said, sure, I'd love to. And speak frankly, he said, every dollar you send our country goes against Christian values and family values. And frankly, our country would be better off if we didn't receive any. And I've heard that same situation from a number of countries where they say, we appreciate what America has stood for, and we don't want to align ourselves with China, but China, they're working to give us ports, bridges, and roads. We know that's a debt trap, but from our State Department, they get a lecture, and it's things that undermine the society and values that they hold dear. And that's not what they want to be involved with, and so it puts them in a difficult situation. And the things that we're working on is to get our State Department. this is not advancing any sort of strategic interest of the United States at all. It's frankly a false religion that they've decided to try to foist on the world, and we've got to make sure that we stop their efforts to do so.
30 seconds, Congressman Cloud. How do the voters weigh in? What can we do to help you and others that are fighting this nonsense?
Well, certainly stay connected with your representatives. We all need to make sure that we're doing that. But also to be vigilant in our communities. You know, if you own a business and this is being foisted upon you, stand up. Don't be afraid to speak. Courage is contagious.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. Congressman Michael Cloud, great to see you. And once again, congratulations for being 100%.
I appreciate it. God bless y'all.
All right. After the break, I'll be joined by a nurse from Texas Children's Hospital who became the latest to blow the whistle on what doctors are doing illegally when it comes to transgendering kids. An explosive interview. You won't want to miss it. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us again. I want to encourage you to stand with us as we defend life, family, and religious freedom at the Republican Party Platform Committee that is going to be meeting at the convention just coming up. So many of you have already responded, but I would encourage you to stand with us, help us, and to find out how, text LIFE to 67742. That's LIFE to 67742, and you'll get a link. You can sign up and be a part of our response to make sure that the Republican Party platform stays firm on those issues. Well, our word for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance to your children after you forever. That was David before he departed, leaving instruction for the people. Then he turns to his son Solomon, and he says this, "And as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." He says, know the God of your father, meaning have a personal relationship with God. Serve the Lord. Your relationship with God should produce actions for God. And then look at the promise. If you seek him, you'll find him. What a promise. I invite you to join us in our journey through the Bible. Text Bible to 67742 to find out how. Previously, here on Washington Watch, I've discussed the Department of Justice targeting Dr. Ethan Heim, the whistleblower who exposed Texas Children's Hospital for secretly conducting transgender surgeries and treatments on minors. But Dr. Heim was not the only target of the FBI in the Biden administration. FBI agents also threatened Vanessa Civich, a nurse at Texas Children's Hospital, who had knowledge of alleged Medicaid fraud related to gender procedures for minors at the Children's Hospital. Well, here at Family Research Council, this is not just another news story. Prior to serving as a nurse at the Texas Children's Hospital, she served as an intern at the Family Research Council, and she joins me now in studio to share her story. Vanessa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
So let's Let's start with this. Tell me about what you were seeing at Texas Children's Hospital and how you came forward anonymously in May of 2023 to respond to what you were seeing.
Yes, I accepted a position in a pediatric multi-specialty clinic, and this was the clinic that Dr. Roberts was seeing transgender patients in. And I quickly, you know, saw that the number of transgender patients was increasing. And over time, I was being asked to do things that were against my beliefs and against my faith. On one occasion, Dr. Roberts asked me to teach a healthy teenage boy how to administer estrogen injections to himself. And at the time, I didn't realize what I was teaching him to do, but after thinking about it later, it dawned on me that he was going to go home and give himself, you know, estrogen. And that was really devastating to me. That went against everything I believed about God's design for our gender and our sexuality. And so I almost quit on a number of occasions until I read Christopher Rufo's article with an anonymous whistleblower who we now know is Dr. Eitan Heim. And I read that, and I knew that everything that Christopher Rufo had reported on was true because I was seeing it in my clinic. And I came forward to affirm the testimony of that whistleblower. And a few days later, a second article that I worked with Christopher Rufo on, a second article where I was an anonymous whistleblower as well.
So what was being said within the hospital? I mean, was this kind of just hush-hush, or were they just hoping no one would pay any attention to what was going on?
Well, that's an interesting question. Unfortunately, the hospital has a track record of lying to the public, and this was no exception. They were, you know, keeping secret a transgender medicine program from the public, from lawmakers in Texas, they just thought that no one would bring it to light and come forward to expose that.
So let's talk about what happened after you came forward anonymously, vouched for the previous whistleblower that this, in fact, was happening. What occurred then?
Yes, it's interesting. I do want to just point out one thing, that in August of 2022, before I came forward anonymously, in May of 2023, I wrote a piece for the Washington Stand called What Happened to Do No Harm, A Nurse's Firsthand View of the Transgender Craze. And I wrote that piece, and I'm so proud of what I wrote. And at the time, I really pondered whether or not to use my name with that piece. And I decided at the end to do that and to not, not be anonymous behind that. And I knew that that would carry some risk. And so in July of 2023 of last year, I went about my work as normal. I just thought everything was perfectly fine until July 24th, when I received a knock on my front door, and two federal agents asked to speak with me about issues at my work. And at the time, we were hosting friends for dinner. We were in a totally different headspace. I go to the front door and I hear them saying my name and pulling out their badges, you know, very clearly from the FBI. And it was terrifying.
So what did they say when they knocked at your door and you opened it up?
They said they were there because they knew what I believed. They knew about my views against transgender medicine. And that's why they were there. And they also came and they said that I was a person of interest in an investigation for an individual who had released confidential patient information to the public. And of course, they were referencing Dr. Heim, but I had no idea who he was.
So you had no interaction with him. You were just validating what he had said as a whistleblower, that you've seen the same thing.
Correct.
So two independent confirmations that this was taking place.
Yes. And they proceeded to inform me that they said, you know, I responded at one point and I said, you must be referring to the whistleblower who just, this article had just come out with this journalist. You must be referring to that. And they aggressively corrected me immediately. And they said, no, that's a leaker. And he's leaked classified patient information to the public. And we would like your help to expose him and to expose his identity. And I knew that, first of all, they were lying, because in that article with Christopher Rufo, all patient information had been redacted and blacked out. So that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they proceeded to just say that if I didn't help them, that they couldn't protect me. They threatened me and said I wasn't safe at my job. Essentially,
these are two FBI agents.
Yes. They said someone at my job, at my work, had given them my name and that I wasn't safe.
What did they mean by that?
Well, they left it very vague, I think, on purpose. It was intentionally vague, very veiled threats.
Now, at this point, did you know that Dr. Heim was the whistleblower?
No.
So you still didn't know this, and they were wanting you to come up with information you had no idea about.
Correct.
And they were essentially threatening you?
They said that because they knew what I believed.
And what did they mean by that?
I don't really know, but I think they meant that because I'm aligned with the whistleblower's testimony and that I corroborated that, that they could intimidate me into helping them.
Okay, so that took place in July?
Of last year.
Of last year. Mm-hmm. What has transpired since then?
I went back to work. Of course, just, at first, just terrified out of my mind, even though I'd done nothing wrong. And I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong, and I didn't regret anything I had done. But I started to notice some discrepancies in the paperwork and some red flags. And I noticed two things. First, that Texas Children's is illegally using Medicaid to cover transgender surgeries and hormones and treatments. And under the Texas Medicaid policy, which is available online, that is not covered. It's illegal. And I would see a healthy, teenage boy on estrogen, and lo and behold, the, insurance on file is Medicaid. And then the second example is the misdiagnosing of patients for the purpose of justifying puberty blockers. So the providers would intentionally diagnose a healthy teenage boy, let's say, with estrogen deficiency, and that would then justify the prescription of the estrogen for a teenage boy.
So this would facilitate them getting it where private insurance wouldn't pay for it. They couldn't pay for it themselves. The government would be paying for this.
Yes.
And that is in contravention of the law.
It is.
So what came of that? Is that still happening?
I can't say what's happened after that, but that's just what I witnessed and what I saw personally at my workplace. And so I just decided to come forward to expose that.
So bring us up to date where things have happened since you brought that information to light. What has happened to you? Any more interaction with federal authorities? What's taken place there?
Not yet, but I would not be surprised if I did get another visit from them. Unfortunately, we've seen more and more examples of people of faith that experience the overreach of the federal government just for acting in accordance with what they believe.
So, Vanessa, let me ask you this. Have you had other nurses or others that you've worked with contacted you, privately to talk with you about this or share their concerns?
Not yet.
I have to say, very courageous of you to step forward and expose what is a very destructive and I've said this on the program before, I think it's a demonic agenda targeting our children to destroy their lives and their families. And we have to stand and speak against that. And it comes at a price. But that price is worth paying because it's the right thing to do. There are other professionals that find themselves in the same position as you have. And I'm sure you're pursuing your life's dream of helping people in the field of medicine. What would you say to others that are out there that are witnessing the same thing but intimidated because of what you just described, and that's the intent, is to force Christians either out of the arena or to be silent? What would you say to them?
Well, first and foremost, my faith is what compels me to speak out, and it's the cornerstone for everything that I've done. But to other nurses who are seeing illegal things, or medical professionals seeing illegal things happening in their workplace, I hope I can inspire and maybe empower nurses to come forward and not be afraid of the repercussions or the consequences, because children's lives are at stake here.
Vanessa, again, I thank you for your courage in coming in today. But one final question for you before our time runs out. Tell us and our listeners and viewers about your time here at the Family Research Council as an intern and how that may have prepared you for what you're facing today.
You know, I have to thank you because I feel that FRC has personally invested in my life. And it is an experience that will mark me forever, just the opportunity to be here and to meet so many amazing people and to learn with some of the most amazing people. And I really feel like FRC gave me a spiritual backbone and prepared me to stand up regardless of what comes. So I'm grateful to you.
Well, we're proud of you and grateful for your stand. Vanessa, how can people stand with you? How can they help you?
Would so appreciate support. I have a Give, Send, Go online and live right now, and that's to support me and any future, anything that may come down the pipeline.
Right.
And also just supporting other whistleblowers that are coming forward now as well.
What is that
site? It's Give, Send, Go, and then I think it's a Nurse Whistleblower.
Okay. Well, Vanessa, we're also going to encourage folks to pray for you as well.
Thank you.
And for the ability to continue to stand and to be an example for others.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Vanessa. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Folks, thank you for joining us today. And I hope you're challenged to stand firm for the faith, to be bold, to be courageous, to know and do what is right. We're out of time, but I would encourage you to pray for Vanessa and visit her site. And you can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and find out more. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.